far too often, I think, we mix up or we confuse the word believe with faith. It's something that we do all the time, and I want to help clarify the difference today. And so this morning we're going to be looking at the parable that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 7. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there now. It'll be on the screen, both in English and in Spanish. And while we are going to focus our reading on the verses 24 through 27, it's important to understand that this portion of the chapter is not a separate thought from the previous sections of the chapter. One of the things that we have to remember is that chapter breaks, verses, all that stuff were added in, and I actually looked this up. They were added into the text by the Archbishop of Canterbury around the year 1227. Did you know that? You don't have to remember that, it won't be on the text. But that's when they went through, and they did it so that you could find things easier. It's easy to find Matthew 7:24 than it is to find the words in it, right? And so they gave us a way to find things. But they didn't always do a great job of placing the chapter breaks. In fact, how many of you have NIV? Use the NIV? A lot of our congregation, and in the NIV, it even breaks it down even further, doesn't it? You will see breaks in it. In this case, there's a break, and it says, the wise and foolish builders. How many of you have that in just before verse 24 starts? And it's another way for you to find, I want to find the story of. And it's just another way for you to find it. But that gives the mistaken feeling that this is a separate thing from what happened just before. And this isn't the case. And you know how you can tell? The first word in verse 24 is therefore. And I bet Pastor Connie knows what I'm going to say, because every preacher I think alive has said this before. Whenever you're reading the Bible and you see a therefore, you need to figure out what it was there for. Okay? Because it's tying what's coming next to what happened before. Okay? And so, before we begin to look at verse 24 through 27, let's talk about what Jesus was saying prior to these verses. First of all, these entire passages are a part of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. That starts in Matthew chapter 5 and goes to the end of year of 7. And interestingly, since my sermon will take less than 30 minutes, you hope, and I'm concentrating on three verses, you can imagine how long Jesus preached this sermon. So I said, obviously, there were no decent restaurants nearby, and football hadn't been invented yet. Or the thousands of people that were listening to this wouldn't have stood still for this. But he had them sitting down, enthralled in what he was saying, because it was a different message than what they had been hearing from the priests and the Pharisees. In fact, in the latter portion, after this verse, it says they were amazed because he spoke with authority. In the previous section of this chapter, Jesus warned against false prophets in one section, and then against false disciples. And he doesn't mean the 12 disciples and stuff. He means followers. Jesus wanted us to know that the things that we say that we believe must ring true with two things. They must ring true with our actions, and they must ring true with our fruit. You know, Paul and I, we were talking last night, we've got fruit trees all over our backyard. We had a bunch die, but we had nectarine, we had plum, we tangerine. We have three different kinds of apples. We have three different kinds of pears. We have cherry, lemon, and lime. So we've got all these fruit trees. Do you know I have not once seen that lemon tree put out an apple? Isn't that amazing? I have not once seen my tangerine tree have a cherry on it. Really, I've only seen my cherry tree have cherries once. But you don't get a different type of fruit from a different type of tree, do you? I had told you last week that the guy that the people that we bought our apple tree from had grafted three types of apples. They'll grow together. But you don't get the pear on the apple tree or any of that. The kind of tree dictates the kind of fruit. Right? And so Jesus was warning against these false prophets and false disciples because he said their actions don't match their words, and even if those do, their fruit doesn't. I was just talking in Bible study about a discussion we had last night with some friends, that Katy Perry had admitted that she had sold her soul to Satan, and that a couple years back she actually did a satanic ritual type of performance at the Grammys. And I do remember Natalie Grant walking out early because of it. She had a gospel album out, you remember that? And she said, listen, I wanted to be the next Amy Grant, but since that didn't work out, I'll go a different direction. So she said, I sold my soul to the rock god. And now her fruit is matching the tree. So he's warning about that these things should be connected. Are what we say we believe, what we act on, and the things that happen because of our actions. So keeping that in mind, let's go to our verses in 24. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. And I always have these views. I think of Malibu when I think about these. How many of you remember after fires and stuff, you'll see these movie stars' homes and stuff start sliding into the ocean. And it's hard to get a lot of sympathy from us, right, for those multi-million-dollar homes sliding into the ocean. They built it in the wrong place. It's kind of like when we had that hurricane in New Orleans and all those people were like, oh, well, you built below sea level, right? But Jesus is saying, here's the most important words. I want us to hone in on these four most important words in this passage. And those are, and puts them into practice. Paul, when you came in this morning and you sat down in the chair over there, did you believe that chair would hold you up? Yeah. Now let's say that if instead of coming and sitting down, Paul had stood there by the chair looking at it dubiously. Well, Paul, do you think that chair is going to hold you up? Yeah, I think so. I believe it will. Well, why aren't you sitting in it? Because he ain't sure, is he? He believes it will, but he doesn't have faith it will, because the only way to show that you have faith it will is to sit down. I had a pastor come to our house, sat down in the chair outside in the back, Clack, down it went. He no longer had any faith in any of my chairs and stood for the rest of the time. Your actions speak to what you truly believe. And the difference between the word believe in faith is that action. And I love the sentence puts them into practice. What is that? What does that mean, practice? Did you know that doing God's will and living a holy life takes practice? Did you know that you've spent your whole life practicing bad habits and dumb things? I even saw, people say, oh, I remember when I was a kid, young guy, I did the stupidest things. That's because you were practicing them. And some of us got to where we made it perfect. We were good at doing dumb things. But doing God's will takes practice. There's very few people that I've ever met that have instantly been changed and know how to walk a holy Christian life overnight. Seen it happen. Doesn't happen a lot. Most of us practice it. And the idea of practicing it and the act of practicing it is living the holy life. What did Paul say? He said, he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. That means it's an ongoing thing that he's going to work on you. How many of you wives think that you're still working on your husband? It's been a lot of years.
Amen.
Paul was the first one to grant. Well, 27 years, you're still working on me. 50 years, you're still working on it. Yeah. Listen, until the day that you die, you should not be through being worked on. The minute you think that you're through, you're dead inside. That's why I love to see. We had an old woman in our church in Long Beach. This caused a couple of our pastors, they have to retell this story all the time. They think it's the most hilarious thing ever. We had this woman who was the orneriest, most God-fearing woman that she did everything God asked her to do, but she was ornery. And she would say, she lost it. I don't know that she'd ever had a filter, but if she had a filter, it was gone. And she was in her 90s. She finally passed away last year at 95 or something. But no filter whatsoever. And so we had just been there, 2 weeks? And we had Thanksgiving potluck after church. And it had been a very contemporary service. I picked up contemporary songs. And I don't know if those of you that have heard me play the piano, I can do a lot of things, but in contemporary is very less is more. And so I had done just pretty much this. And so I was walking around the room, kind of getting to know people, and I came up to her, and she sat there with her cane. And she was actually sitting next to the lady that played the piano for me before and after church. And loved that lady. And this old lady said, listen, I wish you'd learned how to play the piano. I'd pay for the lessons if you'd go. And this lady that we were good friends of, her jaw dropped down to the floor. She could not believe that this woman said this. So, the next week I don't pick songs because they're old or they're new. I pick them for their theme. I told everybody that from the word this morning. You got the cornerstone, the rock. But the next week it happened to be very traditional sounding music. And so I was, doing all this. And after church, she walked by me and she says, I believe you went and got those lessons. And I said, I didn't. You owe me $72.50. It's just amazing what people will say and what they will do. Our actions and our words and our fruits need to match. It's the action of the builder that makes the difference between belief and faith. You can say that you believe in Jesus Christ all you want, but until you actually start living it out, your belief is empty and no one will believe you. There was a man who fell off a cliff but managed to grab a tree limb on his way down. And he starts yelling out, "Is anyone up there?" He cried out, "I am here. I am the Lord. Do you believe me?" The voice said, "Yes, Lord, I believe. I really believe. But I can't hang on much longer." And the voice said, "If you really believe, you will be all right. I will save you. Just let go of the branch." The man paused for a moment and said, "Is there anyone else up there?" He said he believed, but he wasn't willing to let go of that branch, was he? There was another man, a Boston businessman, well known for his ruthlessness, who once denounced to writer Mark Twain, "Before I die, I mean to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. I will climb Mount Sinai and read the Ten Commandments aloud at the top." And Mark Twain responded, "I have a better idea. You could stay in Boston and keep them." His words weren't matching his actions. The world scoffs at our beliefs because most of us tend not to live them out. Let's look at another passage that spells this out to us in no uncertain terms. It's in James chapter 2, verse 14 through 17. "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." I love the book of James. This was the brother of Jesus, and he makes no qualms or bones about anything. He's fairly straightforward. If we do a study on James, just be ready to get hit in the head a lot, because that book was all about that, getting Christians right. We often say one thing and do another. It's certainly confusing to the world, which is why they look at us with such scorn. But you know that it's also confusing to our children? We were told to raise up our children the way that they should go. Raising up isn't just telling them what to do. It's showing them what to do. It's putting our faith into action. Many times, however, our actions say something far different than our words do. God had told the Hebrews, "Listen, if you'll just obey me and worship me alone, I will give the land of Canaan to you." And they said, "We're going to do everything that God tells us to do." And they said that they believed in only the one true God. But as we've seen in our Bible studies lately, the moment that Moses was gone too long from their presence, they built a golden calf and called it their God. You know why? Their foundation wasn't God. Their foundation was Moses. And the second he left their sight, their faith was gone. I've seen a couple things. I love it. Let me tell each and every one of you, don't put your faith in me, because at some point I'll let you down. Probably won't do it on purpose. It'll probably be teasing you or something like that. But don't put your faith in any pastor, in any missionary, certainly not in any of our political leaders. Don't put your faith in your government. Not even necessarily in your spouse, because sometimes they let us down. Your faith, your foundation, can only be one place. And that must be in Jesus Christ, our Lord. When they got to the borders of the land of Canaan, the Hebrews sent out 12 spies. And when the spies came back, they said, man, they had grapes where one bunch had to be carried between two grown men. They said, man, this land flowing with milk and honey, it has everything we need, but it also has giants. And their cities are fortified. We have 10 of the 12 said, we have no chance of picking these people out. But wait a minute, what did God tell us? God said, I will give you, didn't he? And not only that, we learned in our Bible studies, he said, I will drive them out ahead of you. He put a fear of God into these people before they ever got there. And yet, the Israelites sided with the 10 guys that said, we can't do it. You see, their actions didn't correspond with their words, and their faith was dead. And because of that, not one single adult that left Egypt, other than Joshua, Caleb, and I guess you could say technically Moses, but not one of them got to the point where they could go into the land of Canaan. Moses didn't go in. He stood on the mountain and looked at it. But Joshua and Caleb, the two spies, that said, listen, if God said we can do it, we're going to do it. He's going to give it to us. Those were the only two adults that made it in to the land of Canaan, because they were the only two that believed God and acted on it accordingly. I think of those kids up north where that guy was shooting Christians. And can you imagine the pressure of not denying your Lord when somebody's... That first person, they probably didn't know what was coming. But that third, fourth person, they knew what was going to happen. And yet to say, I'm a child of the risen King. Man. They put their actions, their belief into action. God doesn't want us to say one thing and do another. You know, we humorously try to tell kids, do as we say, not as we do. That's just the stupidest thing. We said that in Texas. Did your folks ever say that, Tony? Do as I say, not as I say, not all the time. It's the only one that may be worse than pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. Listen, you're supposed to show your kids what to do. Jesus tells us that those that put his words into practice are on firm ground. Later in the book of Matthew, Matthew 21, 28 through 31, Jesus tells another parable that speaks to the importance of our actions over our words. He says, what do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered, but later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir, but he didn't go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first, they answered. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are in the kingdom of God ahead of you. He's talking to the Pharisees. Now I know at some point today, Stevie's going to tell him, I'll ask him to do something. He'll say no, just so he can say no and go do it. But see, the kid that said, the son that said no, but went ahead and did it, although irritating as that is, he did his father's will. It's your actions. Did you know a 2014 study was done by the Pew Research center. 70% of the people in this country identify as Christians. Did you know that? How many of you think that 70% of our population act like Christians? How many of you think that 70% of our population live like Christians? That's a ridiculous number. I was playing golf with some guys at Sierra Lakes, and I always go, and then they just put me with some guys. And these guys were cussing up a storm, F-bomb, this, that, and so finally, you got the third hole. They'll say, "So what do you do?" And I'm David. I'm a pastor. And then one of them had the audacity to say, "Oh, we go to Calvary Chapel, Golden Springs." And then he said, "Well, you know, we were going to, and we had talked about motorcycles." Yeah, we went to this motorcycle thing, and this guy came up with this long ponytail, and he took it off with one of those fake ponytails that ties to the helmet, you know? And he said it was effing Raul Ruiz. And I said, "Well, Raul is not teaching you something. Because if you're going to identify as a Christian, you're not sounding like it, and you're not living like it." See, I don't care. Listen, I played summer pro league basketball. I played with kind of some of the worst people that you would play with. Doesn't bother me at all, their language, what they do, because they're lost. But don't tell me you're a Christian and then act like that. Giving us a bad name. Putting an NOTW in the back of your car and then flipping people off when they cut you off on the road. That's the reason the world scoffs at us. Because too many of us say, "Oh yeah, I believe in Jesus." And then we live like we don't. You might want to give that up for Wednesday. Fortunately, it's not on now, huh? What is your life built on? What is your faith built on? Are you putting into practice what you say you believe? Let me give you this. If 70% of the United States were to start living and acting and putting into practice like they were Christians, this world would be a completely changed world. We would not be in the mess that we're in today. I don't know where you are. I don't know if maybe you feel like I've listened to a million sermons. Like the guy said, I've listened to thousands of sermons. None of them really made a difference to me. I don't know if you've been a hearer of the word and not a doer, but I can tell you it's the doers of the word that Jesus said are on firm ground. They're that house. But if you're a hearer of the word, you're that one. And you need to come to a place where you're willing to put into practice what Jesus commanded. Let's bow our heads.